ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। टुडे मॉर्निंग रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 8 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड लॉर्ड कृष्णा शोज द यूनिवर्सल फॉर्म टेक्स्ट नंबर 48। श्री शुक उवाच द्रोणो वसूनां प्रवरो धरया भार्यया सह करिष्यमान आदेशान् ब्रह्मणस्तम उवाचः। श्री ट्रांसलेशन। सुखदेव गोस्वामी सेड to follow the orders of Lord Brahma, Drona, the best of the Vasus, along with his wife Dhara, spoke to Lord Brahma in this way. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As stated in the Brahma Samhita 5.37, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavita Bhis Tabhirya Eva Nijarupa Taya Kalabhi Goloka Eva Nivasat Akhilatma Bhuto Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. When Krishna descends anywhere, he is accompanied by his own associates. These associates are not ordinary living beings. Krishna's pastimes are eternal, and when he descends, he comes with his associates. Therefore, Nanda and Mother Yashoda are the eternal father and mother of Krishna. This means that whenever Krishna descends, Nanda and Yashoda, as well as Vasudeva and Devaki, also descend as the Lord's father and mother. Their personalities are expansions of Krishna's personal body. They are not ordinary living beings. Maharaj Parikshit knew this, but he was curious to know from Shukadeva Goswami whether it is possible for an ordinary human being to come to this stage by sadhana siddhi. There are two kinds of perfection, Nitya Siddhi and Sadhana Siddhi. A Nitya Siddha is one who is eternally Krishna's associate, an expansion of Krishna's personal body, whereas a Sadhana Siddha is an ordinary human being who, by executing pious activities and following regulative principles of devotional service, also comes to that stage. Thus, the purpose of Maharaj Parikshit's inquiry was to determine whether an ordinary human being can attain the position of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. Shukadeva Goswami answered this question as follows. Hare Krishna. So we are reading from this most special canto of the Bhagavatam, the 10th canto. Srimad Bhagavatam has been compared with the transcendental body of Krishna. Just like we take darshan of Krishna by first seeing his two lotus feet, and then we go up, take darshan of his thighs, navel, then his lotus face. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam, the first two cantos are described, they are compared with the two lotus feet of Krishna. And as you gradually come up, and the face of Krishna is compared, or rather the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is compared with the face of Krishna. So we are actually, and Krishna's most beautiful transcendental face is most attractive. So therefore, the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is most attractive because this describes the pastimes of Krishna performed in Vrindavan, which is his eternal abode. And in Vrindavan, Krishna's childhood pastimes are considered to be sweetest. And we are now reading this section of Krishna's childhood pastimes. And the speciality of these pastimes is, Krishna's childhood pastimes are performed in Bauma Vrindavan, here. Krishna taking birth, killing Putana, all these pastimes, killing Trinavarta, Shakatasur. And now we are reading how Krishna is showing the universal form. So Srimad Bhagavatam, the goal of Srimad Bhagavatam is to help us get connected to Krishna deeply through hearing these pastimes, so that our dormant love for Krishna is reawakened in our hearts. So Krishna performs many childhood pastimes, and the most prominent of all of them is Krishna stealing butter. Krishna would many times steal butter and give joy to the residents of Vrindavan. So once he was stealing butter as a small baby. Now Krishna, by his own yoga maya potency, he would be bewildered and he would be completely in the mood of a small child. He would not be in the position of Godhead. So as a small baby, he would be stealing butter, and by his own yoga maya, he would forget that he is God, and then he would be stealing butter and he would see his own reflection in the jeweled pillar in front of that butter pot, and he would look at his own reflection and he would think that somebody else has come there and somebody else is seeing him steal the butter, and he would immediately tell that reflection. And when he's speaking to the reflection, Mother Yashoda is standing behind and watching, and she's really enjoying this. She's deriving immense transcendental happiness seeing her child Krishna speaking to his own reflection out of fear. So baby Krishna is saying, "Oh, you have seen me stealing this butter. Please keep quiet. Don't tell anyone. I will give you also some butter." So Krishna is bribing. So, and then he is very fearful and he says, "Please don't tell Mother Yashoda. I will give you some butter." And at that very moment, Mother Yashoda, she becomes so happy. She comes from her behind where she is hiding, and then she embraces Krishna. And then Krishna, as soon as he sees Mother Yashoda, immediately becomes more fearful. He says, Mother, I was not stealing the butter. You know, this boy, he was stealing the butter. I was trying to catch him." So like that, Krishna would tell, and Mother Yashoda would become more happy. So like this, Krishna would perform very sweet pastimes of stealing butter. And then one day when he was stealing butter, and as soon as he put his hand in the butter pot, that very moment, Mother Yashoda came from behind. So Krishna saw Mother Yashoda. Now he is caught red-handed. His hands are in the butter pot. So immediately Krishna said, Mother, I am not stealing butter. It is just that you have put so many jewels and bangles and ornaments on my body. These are so hot. For just to cool myself, I am putting my hand in this cool butter." So Mother Yashoda would feel, she would again laugh. And then she would go and then she would say, "Okay, I'll remove your all the jewelry so that your hands are cool." So like that, he would perform. And many times the residents of Vrindavan, the other gopis, they would come and they would complain to Mother Yashoda. And when they would be complaining about Krishna's mischievous activities, it is described by Kavi Karanapur that they would be laughing while complaining. Very different than material world. And they would be laughing also and very seriously complaining also. That means they were deriving great transcendental joy in glorifying Krishna's mischievous activities. So these gopis would come and say, "Yashoda, your son Krishna, he is so mischievous, so naughty, and you are not controlling him now. If you don't control him now, when he grows up, he will create so much more mischief. He is a small seed now. When he grows up, he will steal bigger things. He will do bigger mischief and he will destroy the whole village of Vrindavan. Don't you realize?" And then they start giving all the list of complaints. So they say, one gopi says, "In the morning Krishna comes, we are about to milk the cow. Before that Krishna comes and releases the calves. And the calves drink away all the milk. And when we get angry with Krishna, Krishna just looks at us and smiles, and we are not able to do anything. So your son just smiles and we become completely captivated. We are not able to punish him also. And many times he would steal butter. And when we would catch him stealing butter, he would twist our arms and then he would run away. And then we would chase behind him, and then he would look back and shout at us. He would say, 'Stop where you are. Don't come ahead. Stop. You think I am stealing now? Just wait how much more mischief I am going to create. I'll come to your house and make your babies cry, and then you will also cry.' So like that, Krishna would tell them. So then another gopi said, "One time I was catching him because he stole butter, and just Krishna looked at me and he shouted at me. He said, 'You think I am thief? Actually you are all thieves.
Your house, your butter, everything belongs to me. This whole village of Vrindavan belongs to me. So you can't accuse me of thievery. Like that, they keep complaining. And as they are complaining, Krishna is just is sitting next to Mother Yashoda and is feigning, pretending to be very innocent. He is looking very innocently at all the gopis, at Mother Yashoda. So then one gopi says to Mother Yashoda, Yashoda, don't go by his innocent look. He is very mischievous, he is very greedy, and he steals. So then Mother Yashoda, she hears their complaints and then she looks at baby Krishna. And Krishna is very innocently looking at Mother Yashoda and says, Mother, Mother, please don't believe them. I never go and steal. I simply go to their house because I love them. And I want to give them affection and I want to receive their affection. Just to receive their affection, I go and now they are complaining about me. So if you say, Mother, henceforward I will not go to their houses. So Mother Yashoda, she knows that Krishna has stolen butter. But she is in so much Vatsalya Priti. So she looks at all the elderly gopis who have come. And then she tells them, you are all falsely complaining about my little child Krishna. Krishna never steals. Go away. You should be punished. So then all the gopis start laughing. They understand that Mother Yashoda is simply trying to please Krishna. So then Mother Rohini comes and she puts kumkum and chandan on the forehead of all the gopis. And they go away laughingly, criticizing Krishna's stealing activities. So after they have gone away, then Mother Yashoda looks at Krishna and says, Krishna, is not correct. Why do you always keep stealing? You can take butter as much as you want from our house because this is your house. You can always take, you can always steal. But why do you go to neighbors' houses and steal butter? This is very wrong. So then Krishna gets very angry with Mother Yashoda. He says, no, why are you telling me? And that very moment, as Mother Yashoda is chastising Krishna, Nanda Maharaj returns from his day's, you know, work. So when Nanda Maharaj comes, Krishna runs to Nanda Baba and Nanda Baba embraces him, picks him up, and then Nanda Maharaj sits, puts Krishna on his lap, and then Krishna starts crying. Krishna says, Mother is unnecessarily, wrongly chastising me. So Nanda Maharaj says, he looks at Mother Yashoda and says, what happened? And then Mother Yashoda narrates the whole list of complaints that all the gopis have given against Krishna. So Nanda Maharaj hears, and then he looks at Krishna, and he's so affected by the Vatsalya Priti, he embraces Krishna and says, and then again looks at Mother Yashoda and says, all those complaints are wrong. You should not believe any of it. You should be punished for believing all those gopis. Krishna never steals anything, isn't it? And then he would embrace Krishna. And then he would say, Krishna, so you always stay in my lap, okay? Never leave my lap. And then Krishna, because he's restless and unpredictable, he would jump from the lap of Nanda Maharaj. He would run down and run to Mother Yashoda. And Mother Yashoda would embrace him. And then like this, all of them would keep laughing. So these are the pastimes in Vrindavan where Krishna, while performing his childhood pastimes, would give immense delight, immense joy to all the residents of Vrindavan. So like this, he would perform these pastimes. Vraje prasiddham navanita choram gopanganam chadukula choram aneka janmarjita papa choram chauragraganyam purusham namami. So Bilwa Mangal Thakur describes what are the things that this thief called Krishna steals. Vraje prasiddham, he is the most famous thief of Vrindavan. And what does he steal? Navanita choram, he steals butter. What else does he steal? Gopanganam chadukula choram, he steals all the distress of the cowherd boys and women of Vrindavan. Aneka janmarjita papa choram, he steals the sinful reactions that have accumulated in our hearts for millions of lifetime. Chaura graganyam purusham namami, he is the number one thief. So the first two verses of this Ashtakam, Bilwa Mangal Thakur describes the activities of this thief. The second verse also describes more activities of this thief. Shri Radhikaya Hridayasya Choram Navam Buddha Shamalakanta Choram Padashritanam Cha Samasta Choram
Chauragraganyam Purusham Namami.
So he says, this thief is expert in stealing.
Shri Radhikaya Hridayasya Choram.
He steals the heart of Srimati Radharani. And what else?
Navam Buddha Shamalakanta Choram.
He steals the color from the fresh rain cloud. Because he also has the same color as, or rather the rain cloud has the same color as Krishna. So Prabhupada writes in Krishna book that Krishna and the clouds are best friends. Why? Because there are two similarities they have. Both have the same complexion. And second, both remove the distress. When we are suffering in the scorching heat of summer and when we see a fresh rain cloud, we feel relief. Similarly, we are suffering in this material world. The scorching heat, blazing fire of material existence is burning us. So when we remember this dark complexion Krishna, we immediately become relieved. So like that, in these two verses, Krishna's, how Krishna is the greatest thief is described. So like that, Krishna would perform pastimes in Vrindavan. So like this, Billamangal Thakur further describes in the next verse that, okay, what is the power of this thief? For he says, Akinchani kritya padashritamya karoti bhikshum patigeha heenam kena paho bishana chora idra drishta shrutova namaya kadapi. He says, this thief is so powerful that anyone who takes shelter of him, he makes him a beggar. And he removes everything that he has. He makes him akinchana. I have not seen drishta shrutova namaya kadapi. I have not heard or seen such a thief anywhere in this world. So like that, he is glorifying the activities of this thief of Vrindavan. So this is our goal, to hear about Krishna, Krishna's childhood pastimes, and hear Srimad Bhagavatam, where Krishna's pastimes are described in great detail. And by this, our attachment to Krishna becomes very deep. Madeka Bandhu, Mat Sangi, Mat Guru, Mat Mahadana, Mat Nistaraka, Mat Bhagya, Madananda Namostute. Shri Sanatana Goswami, while glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam, he says, Madeka Bandhu, I have only one friend. Who is that? Srimad Bhagavatam. Madeka Bandhu, Mat Sangi, I have only one associate in this material world. Who is that? Srimad Bhagavatam. Madeka Bandhu, Mat Sangi, Mat Guru, who is my guru? Srimad Bhagavatam. Mad Mahadhana, my greatest wealth is Srimad Bhagavatam. Mad Nistaraka, who is my deliverer from this material world? Srimad Bhagavatam. Mad Bhagya, which is, what is my greatest fortune? Srimad Bhagavatam. And Madananda Namostute, I offer my respectful obeisances to this greatest source of my happiness, Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, devotees, they get connected to Krishna deeply through chanting of the holy names and by studying of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Srimad Bhagavatam alone can remove the distress of the suffering souls. This is the literary incarnation of Krishna. And this is the 10th canto we are reading. Right in the first canto, this point has been established. The Shaktyavesh avatar of Krishna, Vyasadev, he is in great lamentation. He has compiled all the Vedas, all the Vedantas, the greatest literary contributor to humanity. Millions of verses he has written, all the Puranas, everything. And still he is not satisfied. Paravaragya sarishi kalena vyaktaram hasa yugadharma vyatikaram praptam bhuvi yuge yuge. He was Paravaragya Sarishi. He was not an ordinary rishi. He knew the future. He knew what is going to happen. And he knew that in future, Kalena Vyakta Ramhasa. Ramhasa means a great force. He knew that a great force called time will come and destroy everything. And therefore, Yuga Dharma Vyatikaram. And he knew that as Kali Yuga comes, all the good qualities will vanish. Praptam Bhuvi Yuga Yuga. So he compiled all the literatures, divided them, made different professors for each Veda. Everything he did, but still he was not happy. See, imagine somebody has written, if you write one book and you become so proud, you know, I've written and then you may show to everyone that I've written this book. But here is a person who has written all the books, and his name is going to be known for the rest of creation, the greatest author, and he is sad. He's not feeling that contentment, that deep satisfaction in the heart, despite writing everything. So he starts thinking, why I am not happy?
Kimva bhagavata dharma na prayena nirupita priya paramahamsanam tadeva achyuta priya.
He says, oh, maybe I am not happy because I have not glorified Krishna completely.
Priya paramahamsanam,
I should have glorified Krishna, because if I glorified Krishna, this is most dear to all devotees. And not only all devotees,
tadeva achyuta priya.
Krishna katha is very dear to Achyut, Krishna also. Even Krishna is very attracted by Krishna katha. So because I have not glorified Krishna adequately, maybe because of that, I am not happy. So as he is thinking, wondering what is the reason, so his guru comes there, Srila Narad Muni. So when Narad Muni comes, Narad Muni understands that his disciple Vyasadeva is despondent, despite being the greatest writer, despite having given all knowledge, of all fields of knowledge, everything he has given. So little sarcastically, he asks his disciple,
Parasharya Mahabhaga Bhavata Kachida Atmana Paritushyati Sharira Atma Manasa Evava.
Oh Mahabhaga, oh great son of Parashar Muni. So indirectly saying that, why are you lamenting? You are the great son of a great person, you are a descendant of a great personality. You should not be lamenting.
Parasharya Mahabhaga,
so why are you sad? Are you satisfied?
Yes. Paritushyati Sharira Atma Manasa Evava.
Are you satisfied describing everything about the body and the mind in your literatures? So indirectly saying, you are not glorified Krishna. So you cannot be satisfied. That, but instead of saying directly like that, he's saying, are you satisfied writing about the body and the mind and not writing about the soul's relationship with Krishna? So Vyasadeva understands that my spiritual master, as he knows. So then he falls at his feet and tells him, yes, I'm not happy. Please reveal to me. And then Narad Muni tells him that you have not glorified Krishna completely.
Bhavatanodita prayam yasho bhagavato malam ene vasau natusheta manyeta darshanam khilam.
He says, if you don't glorify Krishna completely, bhavatanodita prayam yasha, Krishna's yasha is amala, is spotless, pure. And if you don't glorify Krishna completely, ene vasau na tushyeta, you'll never be satisfied. And according to me, manyeta darshanam khilam, everything that you have written is khilam. Khilam means useless. Imagine somebody like Vyasadeva has written so much, his guru tells him whatever you have written is useless, because you have to now write a literature which is exclusively glorifying Krishna. Srila Prabhupada writes in that purport that if the compiler of Vedanta is not feeling satisfied, how can the readers of Vedanta be satisfied? Unless you glorify Krishna and hear about Krishna's glories, how can you be satisfied? So like that. So then he tells, Vyasadeva tells, Narad Muni tells Vyasadeva that all the literature we don't glorify Krishna are the place of pilgrimage for crows, and swan-like devotees don't go there. And Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, swan-like devotees don't go to the places where crows have conferences and meetings. And he compares all sports and mundane movie literature to the pleasure of prostitute hunters. Very heavy purport Srila Prabhupada writes. And the next verse, Narad Muni tells Vyasadeva that if you glorify Krishna, even if it is imperfectly composed, it will bring about a revolution in human society. Just glorify Krishna. So like that, and then we know after that pastime, Vyasadeva sits on the bank of river Saraswati, he gets the vision of Krishna, Maya, then he compiles Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the remedy for the suffering souls of Kali Yuga. So and now that we are students of Bhagavatam, now that we are devotees trying to be practicing Krishna consciousness, how can we enter these pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, Krishna's beautiful childhood pastimes. We can enter through the process of hearing these pastimes and through chanting of the holy names. So the same pastimes of Krishna, the same qualities of Krishna, all, everything about Krishna is there in the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare. It's there in the holy names. So it is explained in the scriptures that if we chant attentively and then as we progress from anartha nivritti to asakti, ruchi, Krishna's qualities, Krishna's form, Krishna's pastimes and our relationship with Krishna will be revealed just by chanting the holy name. And when we reach the stage of prema, the ecstatic symptoms that are experienced in our relationship with Krishna, that will manifest just by chanting the holy name. So holy name contains everything. So Vilamangal Thakur, after he describes the activities of this thief of Vrindavan, he says, how does this thief come? What dress does he wear? You know, sometimes we want to know if somebody, you know, how does the thief look? Like some thief came and stole something, some mobile phone from the temple. So all the cameras we were watching, how does he look? We want to see how this thief, Krishna, how does he come? In what dress does he come? Yadi anama bharati ashesham giri prasara natipaparashin aascharya rupo nanu chauraidr drishtashuto vana jagatrayepi. Yadiya namapi harati ashesham. The same thief comes and steals away everything in the form of the holy name. Yadiya namapi harati ashesham. And what does he steal? Giri, giri means a mountain. Giri prasaran ati papa rashin. Our papa rashi is so much, it is like a huge mountain, giri. And he reduces the whole mountain into powder and insignificant thing. Krishna steals away everything. Aascharya rupo nanu chauraidr. What an aascharya, what a surprising form this thief comes in. Drishta shrutova. I have not heard or seen such a thief. So then, so this is Bilamangal Thakur saying, this is the way the thief comes in the form of the holy name. So sadhaka, he can experience this connection with Krishna through chanting of the holy names. And then in the next verse he says, okay, now that you know this thief has come, you know, generally if some thief comes, we want to catch the thief. So Bilamangal Thakur says, how do we catch this thief? Dhanam cha manam cha tatendriyani pranam sharutva mama sarvameva palayase kutra drutodya chora tvam bhakti dhamna simaya niruddha. He says, oh, this thief has come and stolen away my wealth, dhanam cha manam cha. He has stolen away all my reputation. Tatendriyani, all my senses have become inert because this thief has stolen all of it. Dhanam cha manam cha tatendriyani pranam sharutva mama sarvameva. Everything I have has been stolen away by this thief. So now he is asking that thief, oh, you have come and stolen away everything? Palayase kutra drutodya chora. O chor, palayase kutra. Where will you run away? You cannot run away. Although you have stolen everything of mine, you cannot escape. Why? Tvam bhakti dhamna simaya niruddha. Niruddha. Niruddha means stop. I will stop you by dhamni, by the rope. What rope? Tvam bhakti dhamna si bhakti. The rope of, by the rope of bhakti, I will catch this thief and I'll tie him. Somebody may say, well, Krishna is the greatest thief and he can destroy so many demons, he can steal so many things. How can a mere rope catch Krishna? No, rope is insignificant. So in the sixth verse, the next verse, Vilamangal Thakur answers, is it possible, can a mere rope can catch Krishna? He says, Chinatsi ghoram yamapasha bandham binatsi bhimam bhavapasha bandham chinatsi sarvasva samasta bandham nevatmana bhakta kritam tu bandham. He says that this thief, he has so much power, chinatsi, he can cut off
Chinatsi ghoram yamapasha bandham. The pash, the rope that Yamaraj ties us with, which is ghora, which is very powerful. Chinatsi ghoram, this thief can cut off that rope. Chinatsi ghoram yamapasha bandham. Bhinatsi bhimam bhavapasha bandham. And that is this rope of material existence, which is also very tightly tying us. Bhinatsi bhimam, and this thief can easily cut off that also. Chinatsi sarvasva samasta bandham, and we are tied up with so many attachments. Chinatsi sarvasva, all our attachments, this thief, all the rope of these attachments, this thief can cut. Chinatsi sarvasva samasta bandham, naivatmana bhakta kritam tu bandham. But he cannot cut the rope of devotion, which a devotee ties him with. So like that, very sweet bhajan. But then after, you may say, okay, now I've caught this thief. I know how to catch this thief. Now we'll catch this thief with the rope of devotion. After catching this thief, what to do? What punishment to give him? Or what to do with this thief now that you have caught him? So he says, so Bilamangala Raghunandan, the next verse, which is the 7th verse of this Ashtakam, he said, after catching this thief, what we will do with him? Manmanaseta masarashi ghore karagre dukkhamaye nibhadha labhasvahe chaura hare chiraya swachaurya dosho chitameva dandham. He says, I am going to put this thief in the karagraha, in the jail. What is that jail? My heart. Manmanaseta masarashi ghore. It is very tamasic. The jail of my heart is very dark and very dirty. And in that jail, I am going to put this thief. Karagre dukkha maye nibhada. And in this heart, there is only dukkha. So in that jail, I am going to put this thief. Labhasvahe chaura hare chiraya. So I have gained this thief by losing everything. Labhasvahe chaura hare chiraya. He has stolen away everything, but I have gained this thief. And what I will do now that I have caught him and I'll put him in the jail? Swachaurya dosho chitam eva dandam. Uchita dandam. I will give him an appropriate punishment in that jail. And finally, in the last verse of this Ashtakam, he reveals what punishment he will give to this thief. And it is in the last verse, he reveals the identity of this thief. In the first 7 verses, he refers to this thief as only chor. He doesn't tell the name. In the last verse, he reveals, now I know, your name is Krishna. Karagrahe vasasada hridaye madiye madbhakti pasha dridabandana nischalosan. Tvam Krishna he pralaya koti shatantarepi sarvasva chora hridaya nahi mochayami. So he's saying, now that I've caught you, karagre, what will I do with you? What punishment I'll give you? How many days I'll put you in the jail? For 14 years? Karagre vasa sada. Eternally I'm going to keep you in this jail. Karagre vasa sada hridaye madiye madbhakti pasha dridabandana nischalosan. Because I know that you are restless and you may escape. Dridabandana, with great determination, I'll tie this rope so tightly that you can never escape from the prison of my heart. Now I have discovered who are you. Tvam Krishna he pralaya koti shatantarepi. So now that I've discovered that you are the thief, I'm going to keep you in this jail for crores and crores of eons. For millennium I'll keep. Like that. So we have these beautiful bhajans where our acharyas are describing the activities of this thief, how we can get connected to Krishna through the holy names. Sometimes, you know, devotees say, oh, but I have been hearing about Krishna for so many years. I'm chanting Krishna's holy name. Still, I'm not happy. Still, I feel sleepy in japa. And situations, so many things happen in my life that I lose faith in Krishna. Why Krishna is doing certain things? No, we should know that even though we may not be able to relish or we may fall sleepy while chanting, Krishna is there. Because we have decided to practice devotional service, Krishna is there watching us every moment. He is our eternal well-wisher. If you are chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna is there. It's just that we may not be able to see him. And if we are not able to experience him, It is just because Krishna wants us to intensely call out to Him. Krishna wants us to tell Him that, Krishna, I don't want anything of this material world. I only want You. To help us come to ensure that we come to that stage, it appears sometimes that Krishna is not reciprocating with our chanting or with our hearing, with our sadhana bhakti. Satyanandan Maharaj gives a very striking example in this regard. Generally, I used to think these Ras Leela pastimes and Gopis pastimes are very high. But you know, Satyanandan Maharaj connected it to a sadhaka. He said, we all should learn from the Gopis Ras Leela pastime. So very interesting. You know, it is very applicable for a sadhaka. So he says, what happened during Ras Leela? The Gopis left home, they ran away. And everybody tried to stop them, but they were so desperate to meet Krishna. So when they came to the forest, they left everything for Krishna and Krishna disappeared. And they became so desperate to find Krishna. And finally they got so upset and they started accusing Krishna. So finally they asked Krishna, Krishna, what type of a lover are you? Are you a lover who gives more than what he receives? Or are you a lover who reciprocates only as much as he receives? Or third, are you an ungrateful person? That even if you receive love, you don't reciprocate. Which of the three types of lovers are you? Because they are frustrated transcendentally. And they feel Krishna is the third type of lover. Because, you know, despite loving him so much, despite giving up their home and everything, Krishna is not reciprocating. So they feel Krishna is third type, but they are cultured. They don't want to tell Krishna that you are this ungrateful. So they want Krishna to admit that he is the third type of lover. So they ask him this question. What does Krishna answer? He says, I am not this three type. I am the fourth type of lover. I am a lover who wants to intensify and increase your love for me. So when you were desperately calling out to me, don't think that I had disappeared. I was hiding behind the tree and watching you intensely call out to me. So then Maharaj, he explained this pastime in our connection. So he said, sometimes we are chanting for so many years and we are feeling, oh, you know, I'm feeling so tasteless. I'm feeling bhakti is a drag and I'm losing faith in Krishna. So many problems in my life, so much anxiety. We should know, no. Krishna is there just behind that tree. He is watching you. You may think, you know, Krishna is not reciprocating. But Krishna is watching you perfectly what you are doing. Now, recently, I saw this painting of Bilamangal Thakur in the Back to Godhead magazine. So very sweet, you know, Bilamangal Thakur is blind, old man, is sitting with that, I think, Tanpura or something, you know, and he's singing bhajan, blind. And little Krishna is sitting in front of him. Krishna is sitting like this with his flute on the right hand and he's sitting and Bilamangal Thakur doesn't know that Krishna is looking at him, sitting right, and he's singing bhajans. Very beautiful painting. So that means Krishna is sitting right in front of Bilamangal Thakur and watching him. And he is absorbed in his bhajan. So when I saw that, I thought, actually our situation is like that. You know, in one sense, we have no idea who is Krishna, what is Krishna. But we are sincerely chanting with faith. Krishna is right there, you know, behind the door, behind the window, behind the room. In our japa, when we are chanting our japa in the morning, he may be in the balcony watching. Of course, he is there in the altar. So Krishna is watching. It's just that we may not be able to perceive his presence because of our lack of spiritual advancement. But just like Krishna was there for the gopis behind the tree, he is there for us. So what Krishna wants us to do is basically, he wants us to intensely call out. He wants us to hanker for him and nothing else. And to help us come to that stage, Krishna arranges situations in our life where sometimes, you know, we are despondent or we are not able to chant or we are miserable. So many emotions we go through. Dryness, boring, so many things. That just because Krishna wants to see. At that time, if you can remember, Krishna is there, is watching me, and we intensify with enthusiasm, we will get Krishna's mercy. Sometimes devotees also say, okay, this is very artificial, you know, to pray. I don't feel like praying to Krishna. Krishna, I'm feeling separation from you. We can't. It's so artificial at this stage of our life when, you know, we have so much confidence in our own body and senses and our abilities. It's very artificial to call out to Krishna in separation.
Krishna, I'm feeling separation from you. Even if you say that, it is so artificial for us also and for the one who hears it from us also. But we don't have to feel despondent, because at our own level also, we can feel separation from Krishna, although we may not be at the level of the gopis. See, what is the meaning of separation? When you want desperately something from Krishna and you ask, you are feeling separation. If you call out to Krishna desperately for whatever you need, that's feeling separation. That is like the beginning level of separation from Krishna. So, we have the example of Vritrasura. Vritrasura in the 6th canto, he was intensely calling out. He was about to leave his body. Now, first prayer, we can see how Vritrasura is exhibiting the highest level of separation from Krishna. He wants something highest. We can't aspire for that. But the next verse he chants is for us. We can find some hope in that. So, first he is saying, what is his aspiration? Nanaka prishtam nachaparameshtyam na sarvabhaumam narasadipatyam na yoga siddhira punarbhavam va samanjasatvai virahaya kaankshe. Now this is just a few moments before Vritrasura is about to die. Now he has been a demon who was devouring the demigods, fighting, killing them. And just before leaving his body, an amazing transformation takes place in Vritrasura. And he develops intense hankering for Krishna. And he is saying in this prayer that, Nanaka prishtam, my dear Krishna, I don't want any wealth of this world. I don't want Brahma's abode. I don't want to be the lord of all the lower planetary system. I don't want yogic perfections. Na yoga siddhir, apunar bhavamba. Nothing I want. What do I want? I am feeling tvaya viraya kaankshe. I am feeling great separation from you and I want to be reunited with you. Sometimes we may think, I cannot experience that separation from Krishna. Okay. The next verse he reveals how at our level also we can aspire and increase our separation and hankering for Krishna. So he is giving three examples. Ajatapaksha ivamataram khaga stanyeshu yatavat satarakshudartham priyam priyeva vishutam vishanna mano ravindaksha didrikshate tvam. He is saying, just like ajata paksha, just like a small bird is in the nest and the bird wants food and is feeling separation from his mother. The mother will come. When the mother will come back to the nest and give me food. So like that, I am feeling separation from him. Ajata paksha ivamataram kaga. Then the next line is saying, stanyeshu yatavat satarakshudartha. And just like a calf, he is feeling separation from the mother cow and is waiting when the mother cow will come back. When the cow will come and I'll get the milk. And as soon as the cow comes, the calf runs to the mother for the milk. So second level. And the third level, priyam priyeva vishutam vishanna. And just like a lover is waiting for her beloved. When will he come so that I can serve him? So he's saying, I'm feeling separation like this. He describes three levels. And Acharyas explain that, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that these three levels are the increasing levels of feeling separation. So bird's feeling of separation is very material. The bird wants food. And the bird cannot move also. That little bird cannot move also from the nest. So he's in the nest and he's asking and he's hoping that the mother will come and feed. So he said, many of us are feeling separation from Krishna like this. We want material things from Krishna and we don't have the strength to take that step towards Krishna. So we are waiting, Krishna, come, give me prasad, give me this, give me material comfort. You know, give me balam rice. That's very low level of separation from Krishna. But it is nevertheless calling out to Krishna like that bird. But higher than that bird is the calf. Bird cannot move in the nest, but the calf can run to the mother. But calf also wants only milk. So similarly, we can be at this. Those of us who are on the first level, we can aspire to come to the second level. That is, we can at least move towards Krishna, feeling separation from him and going towards Krishna. Krishna, give me this. Render some devotional service. And the highest is priyam priyeva vishutam vishanna. The lover, she wants nothing from her husband. She's just waiting. When will he return? So that, not that he will come and he will give me so many gifts. Prabhupada says devotees are not a mercantile community. We don't go to Krishna. In one lecture, Prabhupada is saying, so when Krishna came back from the forest of Vrindavan, the gopis were not running to him and then they didn't catch him and check his pockets to see what he has bought for us.
from the forest. They just simply loved Krishna. So this is the third highest level where the devotee is simply wanting to serve Krishna. Just like a lover is waiting for her husband, just when he comes, I can serve him. So we may not be on that level, but whatever level we are in, we can hanker for Krishna at that level and beg from Krishna and attempt to raise our level. So this is the way we take shelter of Krishna. Therefore, what we need at this stage of our sadhana bhakti is to have complete faith that I have to chant with faith, because Krishna, everything about Krishna is there in his holy name. And everything else in this world is insignificant. Trinikritya jagat sarvam rajata sakalopare chidananda mayam shuddham harer name vakevalam. It is explained that Trinikritya, everything of this material world, everything, not only individually, everything put together also, is as insignificant as a blade of grass. Trinikritya jagat sarvam rajata sakalopare. Only one thing is supreme. What is that? Chidananda mayam shuddham, the most pure, eternally blissful, full of knowledge, fully conscious. Harer name vakevalam. And everything in this material world is illusory. It's not worth it. Abrahmastamba pariyantam sarvam maya mayam jagat satyam satyam puna satyam harer name vakevalam. From Brahma's planet to the insignificant ant, everything is maya. Everything is temporary, worthless. It's not worth it. It's a nasty place, not a fit place for a gentleman. Aa Brahma stamba paryantam sarvam maya mayam jagat. Everything is illusion and false. Only one thing is true. Satyam satyam puna satyam. What is that? Harer nameva kevalam. So through the holy name, we just basically have, what we need is faith. There was one Danish philosopher, I'll conclude with this, Søren Kierkegaard, in the 18th century, he gave this concept of leap of faith. He said, every person goes through this situation in life where he has to make a leap of faith. So we have to make a leap of faith in Krishna, especially when after years of practicing devotional service, we may find it a drag. And by that leap of faith, because you know it's easy to have Lokik Shraddha. There are two kinds of Shraddha, Lokik Shraddha and Shastriya Shraddha. Lokik Shraddha is the faith based on that is developed because of the association of the world, because of our faith in newspapers, magazines, TVs, what worldly people speak. That is Lokik Shraddha. But we have to make that leap of faith and believe in the words of Guru, Sadhu, scriptures, the Shastriya Shraddha. And with that faith, when we take to the holy name, then everything about Krishna will be revealed. So let us just absorb in hearing and chanting. That is the best service we can do. In one Pune Yatra, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was saying, what is the essence of humility? We always talk about humility. He said the essence, he said the beginning of humility. What is the beginning of humility? You may say, okay, let me try to become humble. He says, beginning of humility is hearing. And then he clarified that point. He said, because hearing means you give up your mental conceptions and simply hear with faithfully. So hearing is a very big step. So when we take this step of hearing sincerely and chanting Krishna's holy names, we attract Krishna's mercy, and all these pastimes of Krishna will be revealed to us in due course of time. And if we don't see Krishna's hand in our lives, if we find bewildering our life situations, we should know Krishna is watching. He's right around the corner. He wants to see us increase our hankering for him. And at whatever level we are in, we can increase our hankering for Krishna by approaching him through his most sweet holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandevi.